Welcome to Only Murders in My Mind, a Random Thought production. Hi, I'm Carol Bissett, a crime writer, and I invite you with my co-presenters, Liz Hedgecock and Mike Jackson, each week to our conversations on all things murderous. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Only Murders in My Mind with my co-presenters, Liz Hedgecock.
Hello.
I'm Mike Jackson.
Hi, Carol.
Lovely to see you both again. How are you both? You okay?
Fine, thank you.
Yes. Good, I think. Yes, right. Enjoying the nice warm weather at the moment. I've probably jinxed it now.
So summer is here, yes. Mm. Yes, I've seen shorts on the postman. That's a sure sign that the... Mind you, our postman wears them in December.
Yeah.
That's true. Shorts on postman is not like the first sign of spring, is it?
It's not a good indicator at all, is it? So,
I mean, they probably switch over in February. So,
yeah. We're going to talk this evening, about Scandi crime, which, do you think it's a bit of a Marmite thing, Scandi crime?
Good question. I am not remotely expert about it, so I'm going to probably be asking questions today.
Good.
I know that you and Mike are both...
We're fans, aren't we?
Yes, fans of the genre. Yes. What is it you like about it?
It's dark, it's moody, it's very... When I've read it, it's a page turner. Okay. You know, you'll get to the end of one chapter, or if you're watching it on the television, you get to the end of the series, that episode in the series, and you're like, oh, I want to watch the next one. Right. You know?
What makes it a page turner? What qualities does it have?
I think it's the complexity of it.
Right. Okay.
You know, they are very complex storylines, and the main characters normally are quite flawed.
You
know, they've got problems of their own which come to the surface. So you buy into the main characters very quickly.
Yeah, right. They'll have a backstory, and it's usually not a good one. No. There's usually okay. a lot going on in their past that makes you think, can they do this job? You know, that sort of thing.
Is that something that ever gets resolved, that kind of backstory, or is it just something they constantly live with as a sort of undercurrent?
I think it tends not to get solved because I think it stays as that undercurrent because it's part of what makes them who they are.
Yes.
So I think if it was to get solved, then they'd stop being
that person.
Yes.
Occasionally it comes to a conclusion because of something that happens to that character. Either they get killed or get sent to prison, something like that. but yes, it's all, I mean, in one of them, a detective gets sent to prison, and then in the next series, he's asked for his advice. So it's still there. It's still, you know, it's still that he's got a clever mind, but he's a baddie sort of thing.
Right.
They are quite, you have to concentrate when you're watching
them. They're intense, yes. I'd say they're complex, and they often deal with the seedier side of life. So, you know, the social inequalities or political corruptness or, you know, it's all those things that we all like to have a good moan about. Yes. They really come to the fore in some of these stories.
Right. Yeah, because some of them when I've read or seen the series, in the past I've gone, oh, I'd love to go to that country. And I'm going, no, I don't want to go there. Don't want to go there now.
So is there a sense with these stories that, you know, the detective could be on either side?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Are they sometimes morally ambiguous?
Yes.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's not so much that they might necessarily be on the side of... Because they're very much good and evil.
Yes. Yeah.
And often it's the evil that is you see more of than the good. The ones I've seen or read, I never get the feeling that the main character, who is invariably, not always, but invariably a policeman or a detective of some sort, is necessarily going to go on to the dark side, but they do have a dark side, so they are quite happy to bend the rules. So yeah, I think sometimes the characters who are often policemen, not always, but often policemen, don't necessarily move over from the side of good to evil, but they flit so much on the borderline that they've almost got one step on the baddie side, even though they don't want to join them. They're quite happy to take some of the tactics that the evil people might use to use themselves to solve the crime. You know, they're not averse to breaking the rules.
So in terms of we've done, you know, we've talked about police procedural, where there's very much, you know, a sequence you have to follow to investigate, and you have to do it this way, and you have to do it that way, and you have to have so many people in an interview. Is this very different?
They break the rules.
Yeah, right. they cut corners.
Cut corners, yeah. Break the rules. And probably are only still in positions in the police force or whatever because they get results.
Yeah, they're good at their job.
Good at their job.
Yeah. I mean... Wallander is, I'm just thinking, that's been a popular one on and off for years, and that's been remade with various actors.
And they've got young Wallander now, they've gone back.
Yes, there's been at least three Wallanders. And he's got, I'm thinking in the later ones, he's got a very destructive character. He destroys his own personal relationships.
Right, okay.
He's always on point when it comes to the job. But he really has these like mental battles.
Right.
I think he suffers with depression and this sort of thing.
So do you think part of the charm is that you're never quite sure how far the detective is away from stepping over the line, going a bit too far?
I think sometimes you almost expect that they will do that.
Yeah.
It's part of, if they were suddenly to start obeying all the rules or playing the good cop, you'd think this is not right.
Yeah.
One of the things with Scandi noir or Nordic noir, as it's sometimes called, is they're quite slow paced.
Right.
It's not, they don't move along at 100 mile an hour. Mm-hmm. They go at a fairly slow pace, which is part of building up that atmosphere and also bringing in that dark side of the main character as well.
They do, and you've usually got the backdrop of it being sort of everywhere's grey. There's usually snow. Right. The people are wrapped up warm. The sun doesn't shine much.
The settings are always what you know. When I think Carol mentioned this earlier, you think of these places, Scandinavian places, or somewhere I'd like to go and visit. Well, they managed to take the main cities and take you down the most run-down parts.
You go down the rat holes.
Yes.
And everything.
Yeah. So everything lovely. Is very grey and miserable.
You see the underbelly of those, yes. And they'll be there, won't they? Yeah. You know, they're there. It's not that they're telling lies because those areas.
But they are picking out all the
salubrious
places for you to take a tour of. Okay.
Yeah.
It's because it is so dark. It's meant to be. Yeah. To be dark. Mm. And I think that's the other thing is that while we've talked about the main character, you know, the policeman, whoever, being very dark in many ways, morally ambiguous, etc., the evil person is probably even worse.
Hmm. Or sometimes they're somebody of influence that is affecting a lot of people's lives.
Right.
And you're going, ooh. You shouldn't be doing that. No. You shouldn't be in that position, you know, that sort of thing.
Is it Stieg Larsson, the girl with
the... Girl with the dragon tattoo. Yeah, that is very dark in places.
There's three in that series, aren't there? Mm-hmm. Very, very dark. And when somebody gets killed or what have you, there's no glossing over it. You have all the gory bits with a bit more gore added on. And in some ways... You almost expect that because it's a Scandi noir and you know it's going to be dark.
Mm.
But it's not for some people. Some people would find it too depressing, too dark, realistic.
Yeah, from what you're saying, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I'd like this. But,
no.
They do grip you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one I saw, and I can't remember if somebody wants to Google this for me, was The Bridge.
The Bridge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was between Denmark and where were the two countries?
Denmark and
Norway.
Sweden.
Sweden.
Like in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes.
There we go.
So the bridge.
Lightening the mood.
The bridge is that massive bridge that connects the two countries. And I'll just tell you the premise. I won't go into it anymore in case you want to watch it or read it. A body is found, cut it exactly in half, exactly one part's in one country and one part's in the other. Just like that much apart. Okay. So both countries are involved in the investigation.
And that almost is setting the scene because you know that it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. I like the kind of logical mind that says, right, I'm going to mess things up for two police forces.
And mess it up by cutting a body in half.
Mm.
And when you watch it, you actually see. You know,
and you actually do see two pieces, yes.
Oh, my life. Yeah. Okay.
And the female detective in that is, it's, I don't know how to pronounce her name now, it's Sega. Nori, or something like that. Anyway.
Is she the one with the knitwear?
Yes, and she's autistic as well.
Okay.
And she has a boss at the headquarters who understands her and sees her brilliance. But she doesn't think twice about stripping off in front of all the men in the office and just getting a wet wipe and wiping under her arms when she's been working for 24 hours and sticking another jumper on. Okay. She'll go with the guy from the other country who is very laid back and calm, and they'll go to tell somebody that their relative is missing, and he'll say, you know, we're hoping to find them alive, and she'll go, but the chances are we won't, they're probably dead now. Because she's coming out with the facts like that,
yes,
and he's looking at her and going, you know, like this across her throat, no, don't say that. And they go outside and he goes, shouldn't say that, why, it's the truth. You know, so she's brilliant, a brilliant detective. But she's got social skills whatsoever. And she goes down into a bar one night and she's chatting to this bloke, and he's going, oh, what's your name? What did you do? She said, I just want sex from you. You know, there was no
rotting
sort of
over it.
No, that's all she went down for. And he went like that. So she's very, very to the point and sees everything in black and white, finds it very difficult with social interactions, but I find her character really compelling.
Well, it's part of that grittiness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's part of the whole setup, the way the scenery is set up, the way the story is set up.
Yeah.
You don't want a policewoman or a policeman or any of the main characters to suddenly have a nice soft nature. It wouldn't fit in with the whole premise of what they're trying to do in terms of telling a story.
Yeah, and they're back and to each other's countries all the time. And, of course, when they're in one country, the other one hasn't got jurisdiction, can't carry a gun.
Right.
And then it flips over to the other side, so it's the same thing again. So if the two police officers will only ever have one gun between them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be a problem, and it is a problem now and again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody else I've read is Joe Nesbo.
Right.
And again, as a detective, they're called Harry Hole. All sorts of issues with Harry in terms of his own personal life and so on. But he's a good detective that cuts corners, you know. And again, all the murders are extremely grisly and they don't hold back. You really do get the scene well set in as much as what's been done and who it's been done to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part of you wants then for the killer to be caught.
Yes.
Because they're so evil, so disturbed, that you're hoping that Harry will break all the rules.
Yes.
Just to bring this person to justice.
Ah, interesting. So they're drawing you across the moral boundaries.
Yeah, they
as
do,
well.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. When somebody gets shot, you're going, great! Oh, no, I shouldn't be doing that, should I?
Yeah.
I mean, another one that was very popular has been remade in... Was there a film? But anyway, it was made in English in the American market. Was The Killing?
Okay.
And there was this had this political twist as well. Do you remember that one?
I've not seen this. Yeah.
So what's the difference between the original version and the made for the States version?
Not a lot actually, because I've watched both. Because a lot of people didn't like the American version, and I could find very little difference between the two, because I watched them back to back just as a form of research. And of course it's in America and everything, but they don't change the names because obviously America is a multicultural society. So you can have names from Sweden and Germany and places like that.
I think it's Minnesota, isn't there? There's quite a lot of Lutherans.
It could have been that's where they set it. That bit I can't remember, but I thought it was very true to the original.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's one that is well drawn out. And this is the one where every now and again you go, they did it. And then in the next episode, they didn't do it because they're dead or they've proved that they... I think it's because I watched them both. One after the other. But when I got towards the end of the American one, I was going, they could have made this 3 or 4 episodes shorter than this.
Yeah.
You know, there was that feeling. But when the original series was out, the problem with subtitles, because I'm getting old, they, if I read, watch these programs at night and read the subtitles, I fall asleep.
Now, I thought when I first started watching Scandi Noir, I thought it would be the subtitles that would put me off, but it didn't.
No.
You get into the fact that somebody might be talking Danish, Swedish or whatever, goes to the back of your mind because you do concentrate on
And
on
I, ask
the
for, I ask for the sound to be switched up as well if it's too low. Mm. I don't know what they're saying, but it's that I need to
You still need to hear. But yes, the subtitles doesn't. I thought it might detract from it, but
no, it doesn't. I find that when I'm tired, because one of the things I do when I'm in bed to help me sleep is read. Mm-hmm. You know, and even during the afternoon, if I'm tired and start reading, I end up nodding off. But that's an age thing. But there, no, the subtitles don't.
No. There are a couple too that again I was checking what comes into this category of Scandi Noir, Nordic Noir, and something like Borgen. Have you ever seen Borgen?
Yes, yeah.
Which is much more of a political
It was very good.
Very good. And that fits in to that genre in a way.
Definitely.
Because, again, it's very bleak.
Yeah.
It's slow-paced, but it's all political intrigue. It doesn't mean to say that people don't get knocked off, because they do.
I think they do, yeah.
But there's it's the political machinations that really make
I'm not interested in politics, but that drew me in.
Yes,
that really did.
Yeah, that's another good one to watch.
We're watching Whistlings at the moment, which is a Norwegian one, and this is the third series. So we rewatched series one and series two, and that's about a detective out in Norway somewhere, in quite a small town, and his daughter's a sort of a journalist who investigates things, you know.
Yeah.
That again was quite graphic.
Yeah.
Heads on poles and things like that at one point. But he's the very easygoing cop, but quite mild-mannered, you know, takes things in his stride. But all around him, there's this chaos.
Yeah.
You know, we usually find that with the background. I'm watching that at the moment.
So do you tend to read them or watch them? Or
I've done both.
I've done both.
Problem with me reading these Scandi Nordic books is, because I'm dyslexic, I really struggle with the names of people and places. Because they aren't what my brain recognises. So I'm better off listening to them as an audiobook.
They're not short books.
No.
Because they're slow-paced, they tend to be big, wordy books.
Yeah. My husband's got some, and I've kind of occasionally looked at these big, chunky tomes. And thought, ooh, they're big.
I was just wondering then, I mean, as writers, three of us, we are influenced by what we read and what we see. I'm just trying to think if my writing is influenced at all by any of the Scandi Noir I've watched or listened.
You've got a dark side to some of yours.
Yes, yeah. I think I tried to throw some humour in.
You
to balance
and
it.
And quite often, I think, in your stories, it will turn out that the person who's telling you the story is the perpetrator.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting that, because I looked at people who feel they've been influenced, writers that we recognise more, and one was Anne Cleves with her Shetland series.
Oh,
but as you just said, Mike, you could take some of these stories and go over to Norway and places like that. Peter May Lewis trilogy and Broadchurch. These are ones that have just been quoted. And the something River, I would be good if I could read my own handwriting. But yeah, these are writers that feel that they've been influenced by the Nordic type of writing.
So, do you think you've been influenced, Carol?
No, not really.
I'd say in terms of some of your goriness,
I suppose, in the dark bits. Yes, yeah, because I do write quite graphically about murder and torture and things.
She said in a meditative manner. Yeah. Well, I suppose I do. Would you like a scone?
A tea.
But the fact that Liz, as she said, doesn't read this Scandi Noir.
I haven't yet. Never
probably
seen
it. Probably it comes out in her writing, because I'd be surprised if I read something really gory. in one of
Liz's I'm not books. A gory sort of person,
And it was interesting when we talked to Bob about trends. I found this interesting. I mean, this sort of genre was very, very popular for a long time.
And he When did it really start off?
I can't remember when.
I was looking at Wallander, and that was started in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the first.
The girl with the...
Dragon Tattoo goes back a while, doesn't it?
And was very popular.
Yeah, because they made, as you say, films out of that, didn't they? Yeah. I can remember my daughter lending me that book, and as I say, because of all the foreign names, I just couldn't get my head around it at all.
I think programmes or series like The Bridge became very popular, mainly through word of mouth, I think.
People would go, I would have said sort of, 2005, something like that. Things like The Bridge and The Killing were on, but I could be way out. I really don't know.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo apparently published 2005.
There you go.
Translated into English 2008.
Yeah.
Might be about right.
And it really took off then. But Bob said he felt that the tide had turned, and because of what we'd been through with especially with the pandemic, people wanted more lighthearted murder mysteries. They didn't want that dark. I think there's still a place for it, Mike, don't you?
Yeah, and that's probably why somebody like Richard Osman's Thursday Club is so popular, because people do want that.
Lighter side.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, those cozy books have always been there.
They've always been there.
But all of a sudden, I think it may also possibly, here's a male author doing this. Yeah. And that kind of a man does something, women have been doing it for ages. And it's like, oh, this is fresh and new. And you think,
as I say.
There are certain elements that, definitely are.
And I think also with Scandi Noir, I think some people would almost... I was going to say feel ashamed. That's not the right word. Not like to admit that they enjoy those programmes because they are so, in some ways, they're very gory, somewhat sadistic. You know,
bit graphic.
Some of the murderers are sadists.
Yeah.
And to admit that you enjoy that sort of thing might say something negative about you. Mm. Whereas there's nothing wrong in saying, I like, Death in Paradise. Because nobody really gets killed.
I think it's a sort of, I think there's two sides to it, because I think there are some people who feel if you read cozy mysteries, then, you're not a proper crime fan because it's like crime light. And
you're not living in the real world.
Well, there's a crime book club, the UK Crime Book Club on Facebook, and there's loads of people there who'd be like, the gorier the better.
Yeah.
I only like stories with serial killers. And I'm there going, ugh.
Yeah.
There'll be people very, very dismissively saying, I don't read cozy books.
Yes.
You see, now I like a whole cross-section of crime. I've said before, I like true crime. I like the gory stuff. I like the light stuff. There's not much in the crime genre that I would go...
Okay. So, hypothetically, if I were to say, right, I'm going to try one of these books, because, you should always try things... where do you think I should begin?
I can only tell you where I began.
Okay.
And I began with Stieg Larsson's The Girl with the
Dragon Tattoo.
Dragon Tattoo.
Okay. A lot of people did.
Right. I think we might have that at home, that makes sense.
The Joe Nesbo books, because you've got a character there, Harry Hole, a detective.
In fact, I think we have some of those as well. I should maybe check out what my husband's reading. I'm a bit concerned now.
Yeah.
my favourite is, I presume there's a book of it, I don't know, The Bridge. That was my favourite one. I've watched that a few times.
Well, maybe in the next episode I'll be, a convert.
A convert, yes.
Yes, and there'll be a dark side to all my tales now on.
Maisie goes to Scandinavia.
She can't. She's got to go to Paris first. I mean, maybe something will happen in the course of book five where she, she shaves her head, gets some tattoos and goes over the bridge. Yes.
Well, instead of Scandi Noir, you go to Parisian Noir.
Indeed, yes. Le Chat Noir. Yeah.
The dark side of Paris.
Because
there will be, as we said before, there'll be a grim side
the
of every
side,
city.
The demi-monde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is, isn't there? Every city and town that you go to.
Yeah.
I was recently in Amsterdam and places like that. And not, wasn't Amsterdam. I can't remember which one it was because I've got a head like a sieve, but our guide took us through the red light area.
Mm-hmm.
And a local told her off for doing it.
Mm.
And she said, why, they're adults. They've got as much right to walk along here as you, sort of thing. She mm-hmm. wanted us to see what people, some people had to do to earn a living. Yeah. And I admire her for that. She showed us all the pretty things.
Yeah.
And then she showed us this. There was quite a few comments from some of the people on our little group, though.
Ooh.
But not from me. But, you know, as I say, that is it was quite a risk taken. Not physically, we weren't in danger from her view, because obviously if she doesn't get good reviews, the company that behind her won't use her again, sort of thing. So yeah,
that's the thing. I kind of feel like if you're the sort of person who only wants to see the nice things when you go to a place, then you're not seeing
a bit blinkered,
aren't
you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when you're getting off these cruises and they're going, mind your handbag, this is an absolute place for pickpockets and handbag snatchers and all the rest of it, which a lot of the big cities are. London. I mean, I had my handbag snatched in London.
Yeah.
You know, don't have to go that far to have your handbag snatched, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And on that happy note,
yes,
it's very cheerful, wasn't it? Anything else to say about Scandi Noir?
I think the only thing I'd say, going back to what Carol said right at the beginning, it mm-hmm. is very much a Marmite thing.
Yes.
You either love them or hate them. There isn't usually much middle ground. You know, I've not met anybody who says, oh, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, I love it. Or they say, no, I couldn't. Or I tried one and it wasn't for me.
I mean, I've even watched things from Poland and I'm just trying to think, a couple of Russian ones and this sort of thing. Yeah. And they've
very
been
cosmopolitan
quite good.
Watcher.
Yes.
Yeah, well, my husband picks them, you know. Mm-hmm. I probably would pick more Cozy Murder Mysteries, to be honest with you.
I think if you're going to go down this road, if you're going to try one of these, you know, Liz was asking where we recommend her trying, and Stieg Larsson or Joe Nesbo. Yeah. I think what you'll find is because these books don't hold any punches, you're in straight away.
Yeah.
And you will know within a chapter or two whether it's for
that's
you or
fair
not.
Enough. As a matter of interest, how long do you give a book before you think, right, not for me, and put it down?
A couple of chapters,
three chapters.
Right.
Sometimes I've persevered and I've read the whole book and then thought at the end, well, due diligence, I've read the whole book, but I will not read any more of this author's books because it didn't really. I've done it because somebody had sort of said to me, you'll like that. And I wanted to give my opinion of it, you know, an honest opinion of it. I've done that a few times. Mm. But usually, I'm like you, I get the samples.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is usually very often it's only half, it depends how long the book is, but it's maybe sometimes half a chapter. And I've very
should
often.
Should be more than that usually.
Well, whatever it is, that will give me, and occasionally I've bought a book on that and then wished I hadn't, but usually I'm okay.
I think, to be fair, if it's quite often, if it's a traditionally published book, there will be like, you know, some pages of reviews, the title page, the half title, the dedication, all of that before you actually get to the meat of the story.
Yeah.
And that's why those samples are shorter.
Yes.
Whereas exactly as an independent author,
you get more.
I'm very much right. There's the cover. This is chapter one.
Yeah.
And all that other stuff goes at the back of the book, because if people I want people to look inside my book, I want them to think, oh, right, okay, yes.
I think the chances are that if they've not grabbed you in the first two, three chapters, they're unlikely to.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I tend to read paperbacks most of the time, and I would say 50 pages normally. I mean, if I really can't get on with the book, then I will just, you know, I will just stop. But normally I give a book 50 pages before I think, no.
Yeah, time's too, you know, precious to waste on a book you're not enjoying. Yeah.
Once upon a time, I would not have left a book unfinished, but now it's like there are a lot of other books that I want to read. And if I genuinely don't care about what happens in a book, I will just say, no, it's going back to the library.
And I think as writers too, it gives us a different perspective sometimes, because you look at this and you, I don't know about you, but I sometimes think, this writer's been a bit lazy, or this writer's not engaging with me, or I can't really tie into this character. She has not been sold on me. Mm. And I think we can make those sort of decisions fairly quickly.
Yeah. I know one of the things that I'm forever saying when I'm watching the representation of books on television or in a film And I know it's a stupid thing to say. I'm sat there and I'm going, they'd have retired by now.
Yes.
That detective must be 80 if they're a day. And you know very well they, you know, they would not be still working in the British police force at their age, sort of thing. But yeah, it's a little detail that. But I mean, again, they'll do things, and my family will go, they wouldn't really do that, which they wouldn't, but they've got to make the story interesting.
But you have expectations too, don't you? I mean, again, if you're going back to a Scandi noir book,
yes,
I don't expect the first chapter being taken up telling me how bleak the city is or anything. I expect somebody to be murdered within the first page or two.
I think when, again, talking about the first, you know, the taste of the sample, I think if people out there feel that if they're writers and they want to send their work to an agent or a publisher, you very often get the feedback that it's got to grab them in the first chapter, usually, for them to go any further.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't do less than that.
Yeah, probably. If it doesn't do that. And that's a bit sad because sometimes it does take a couple of chapters to get going and then you really are sucked in.
And I think sometimes, and I think that kind of works both ways, because sometimes I've read a sample of a book and thought, oh, this is going to be good. And then you get the rest of the book and you think, oh, right, okay, an awful lot of work went into that first bit and now I'm in. I'm like, oh, yeah, this doesn't really live up to it.
So they're just selling.
That, I mean, going back to Carol was talking about The Bridge earlier on, you know, when you start watching the first episode of The Bridge, it starts off with, we found this body in two parts.
Right.
You know, so, okay. But what it does do, it grabs you, but it gives you an expectation.
Yes.
Now, this has got to be good. You know, you've hooked me in. You need to keep me hooked in.
Yeah, because it's funny because the detective...
It's like kind of, I'll take the bait. Come on then.
Yes.
The detectives meet on the bridge.
Yes.
And there's police from both sides. Mm-hmm. And they're looking down at this body, which, as I say, it cut beautifully in half. And there's a gap of about, I don't know, 6 or 8 inches between the top of the body and the bottom of the body. And they're all stood there looking at it going, well, this is strange. Yeah. And it's got you, hasn't it?
Well, it either has.
So hang on a minute. So if I imagine the body is lying down, so are they kind of split sort of...
Head to toe.
Oh, I see.
Weren't they cut across the middle?
Oh, is it that way?
I think so.
I was wondering if it's like, you know, magician sawing a woman in half type thing. Is it like that? Sorry, you can't see me gesturing.
I think they're cut across the midriff, but I will look. That would
be a lot easier
than
any
other way. Yeah, I'll look you up.
I was just kind of thinking through the logistics that maybe I am suited to this after.
But as I say, that just got me.
Yeah,
I had to see the rest of it.
And to a certain extent, I think to begin with. You, especially if you were reading the book, you wouldn't. The fact the body was being cut in half, whether it was vertically or horizontally, wouldn't really matter.
Doesn't, no.
Because of the fact that it's half a body in one country and half in it, that's what's hooked you in.
That bit, yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
Because I want to know just how meticulous this murderer is to like even think of this.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, because they're so slow paced, they do go into the detail. So whichever way it was cut,
yes,
they would have gone into detail of how it was cut, because they're then looking to see, was this done by somebody who knows how, you know, surgeon or somebody, or
which country was it done in?
You know
because they've got some CCTV of the person leaving it, and that's about all.
So there is a lot of intrigue thrown in.
Absolutely.
Which I think is important.
Yeah.
Wow. So I've learned a lot about Scandi crime.
thank you for being there for us, because as I say, you do need somebody to prompt you when it's something you really
I'm just curious about, you know, a genre I don't know. No. So there you go.
So hopefully we've not depressed you too much.
Yes. We've not decided what we're going to do next week, but
we've got plenty of ideas.
I'm sure it'll be light and fluffy. I'm not actually.
Yeah, I might have to go home and read My Little Pony book or something.
And if your dark side is coming out, do check our blog post, rather. We have a post up there every week, which is a writing prompt and asking you to write a short story. And if you want to have a go, then you can write your story in the comments and we might just choose your story to read out on a podcast sometime in the future. And if you want to make it all dark and gory, please feel free.
Yeah, so if you've got any Scandi crime recommendations for any of us, then you can always comment on our YouTube, or can you comment on Spotify? I'm not sure. You can certainly comment on the blog.
But you can comment on the blog.
Right, so as I say, hit that subscribe button, like us, listen to us, and we will see you. Well, we won't see you. You'll hear from us again next Thursday at the same time. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Only Murders in My Mind, a Random Thought production, produced by John Bissett. The music, In Peril, was composed and recorded by OM Studio Strings.